September 8th, 2020, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
All righty, we're going to get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular Borough Town Board meeting for September 8th, 2020. And ask the clerk to call the roll.
Councilmember Hogan.
Here.
Councilmember Noonan.
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel.
Here.
Councilmember Donahue.
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers.
Here. And would everyone please rise for a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. All right, just off camera for the benefit of those joining us via Zoom, we do have the town attorney, Carl Bitten, and the town clerk, Leanne McCabe, also present at the meeting. Before we get started, I just want to point out that we're able to do this meeting via Zoom as a result of the governor signing executive order 202.60, which extends the ability of local governments to conduct public meetings via Zoom through October 4th of 2020. First item of business is the approval of minutes. We have two sets. First one is the audit meeting for August 25th, 2020, and the second one is for the regular town board meeting, also on the same day. All members of the board were present for both of the meetings, so I guess we can take them together. Discussion, comments on the minutes, any corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve both of those minutes together.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the August 25th, 2020 audit meeting minutes and the August 25th, 2020 regular town board meeting minutes.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. Second item I have is some future meetings and workshops. I have further on down the agenda, solar update, but now that the town board members, and I want to thank all my colleagues for weighing in, as we discussed at the previous board meeting, as to their ideas with the current draft law. I think we're to the point now where we could probably go to a town board workshop where we can discuss where we are, keep the process going. So the first thing I'd like to do is, separate from that, is I have a request from my office to change the next regular scheduled town board meeting, which has a lot of attached to it, from the 22nd to the 29th, because it'll be really tight for them to get all of those vouchers ready to go. I don't know if that would work for board members.
Yeah, it should find me.
So that would be the audit meeting at 6:30, town board meeting at 7 on the 29th.
Yes.
Okay. So I need a motion to do that.
I'd like to make a motion to change the meeting date of the next month end audit meeting and the next month end town board meeting from September 22nd to September 29th, with the audit meeting being at 6:30. And the town board meeting to follow at 7 o'clock.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for that. So going back, so that leads me to, as I started to talk about, a potential workshop for the draft solar law. And this would be a town board workshop, hopefully getting it pretty close to the point where September if we want to do it before the audit meeting. I don't know if that's a good date for everybody or not.
You think you want to do it?
It would be in the evening.
There's a zoning board meeting.
Zoning board meeting on the 23rd.
Oh, I thought you could do All right. I'm sorry. Let me recharacterize that. I can do the 21st.
Plan.
Yeah, but I thought we would do it an hour beforehand, 6 o'clock.
Oh.
And then we'd be out of here after that. Kind of gives us a little incentive to wrap things up.
I'm working with that. I'm hoping we can
do it. Monday the 21st
at 6 p.m.?
At 6 p.m. I'll put it on the calendar.
And you can do that?
That is pending.
All right. So we don't need a motion for that.
Yeah.
So we'll just schedule that for the 21st. Can you have that, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Next item I have listed as highway. I just want to make the board aware. I received communication from the highway superintendent regarding CHIPS on Thursday morning. You know, we've heard, first we had a plan of 80% of our CHIPS money, then there was talk of it going, would be 100% of CHIPS money, now talk of back to 80%. But either way, we had some requirements we had to follow for September 4th, which was Friday, so the highway superintendent needed to get this in by Friday, and that information on the canceled checks had to be provided to the DOT, New York State DOT, in order to get 100% of your request, and we put all the information together that we could. Unfortunately, we don't have the required canceled checks as part of the application process because they were approved at the audit last meeting and haven't returned to town hall, so I can't produce what I don't have. So I do have a call in to the director of local programs bureau with DOT for CHIPS, and hopefully I'll hear back from him tomorrow. Just want to make sure we're not jeopardizing, you know, 100% funding on that first request. First request for reimbursement.
So the reimbursement be for the monies that we gave at the, I think it was the July meeting?
So, yeah, a few board meetings ago, town board approved a resolution earmarking $100,000 of the CHIPS money for help offset the funds that we get to receive from the SAM grant for repair of the highway garage roof, with the balance of whatever comes in going into paving. You know, it doesn't impact the resolution that we passed because we're still going to take our $100,000 off the top that the resolution called for. But I'm hoping that there's no more reductions in that, and that's something that I can find out so we can plan for paving going forward.
I think some of the numbers Mr. Joseph was using appeared to be almost larger than he's had in a few years.
I don't know if you saw that. I think so. There was a rollover of $33,482 from Pave New York from last year that we're able to use for highway purposes. That shouldn't impact CHIPS. But what he has requested for reimbursement is $19,864.31 for Hilton Drive, $27,312.16 for Lincoln Avenue, and $18,547.98 for Greenway Road. So that total amount to date is $65,724.45. So we just don't want to get too far out of our skis, that's all. So I want to bring that to the board's attention.
So I think we approved it 107, 109.
The anticipated amount I have in front of me.
5:45.
Yeah, so under that's going to be your March meeting.
Okay.
So I guess the question is whether we're getting 80% or 100% reimbursement on that. I just want to make sure that the timeliness of our application doesn't impact the level of reimbursement that we get. Before I go down any further the agenda, I wanted to ask the technology committee if the members would be willing to look into getting Wi-Fi at some of the water and transfer station, because that's a roadblock, that's an impediment to us looking at doing payroll services. Mm-hmm. And if we can, we do have some money, Jeffrey's working on pulling that together, fully allocated for this year's budget. If we can get that part of the equation taken care of, I think we can then start looking at the possibility of outsourcing payroll, because we have electronic time cards. We wouldn't have to do it in manual. It's very time consuming. We're short staffed in my office as it is. And I think that would be helpful, something we should look at down the road. So,
what about update now, or will we do the committee?
The committee. So,
we have.
Okay. Yeah. So, when we get the committee reports, we'll have you add to that. Next item on the agenda is a list of Roman Road boat launch. We have an email, board members received mid-August from Zach Curry with a point from the Monroe Community Center. Very interested in putting together a day to clean up our boat launch on Nolan Road. And I know that he's been working with council member Noonan on that directly. Ask that we bring it to the board for discussion. I'm going to let.
Zach Perry LaPointe, the director of marketing and community outreach for the community center, sent an email to all of us. I responded back pretty enthusiastic about the project. I've been involved something like this years ago in another town, 20 something years ago. It was a neat idea, celebrating the town on a certain day. We don't really have one of those at the point in time, so if you wanted to start with a smaller, highly used property in town, and a lot of people have talked about phone launching and cleanup, and he approached us, all of us, in the email with that proposal. He's gone a little bit farther to suggest some dates. Right off the top of my head, I can't remember, I think it was the last Saturday.
Saturday the 26th.
The 26th of September was a rainy date for the following weekend. Really, what they're looking for is approval from the board to go ahead and organize this event. They will gather volunteers. They will do the marketing. Really would just like our blessing, essentially, to let them do a community outreach project to clean up something in Tally as a town. I'm sure if we had anything else we could offer, if it was, whether allow them to bring them all the garbage that they pick up to the landfill, they're clearing any brush. He hasn't brought that up with me yet, but I'm thinking we could offer certain things like that for them. And again, just really looking for our approval and blessing, and hopefully, he's very enthusiastic. Hopes to get 50 or so volunteers or more. Was emphatic about following COVID protocols for distancing, stage cleansing, all that stuff. I don't think anyone on the board would have a problem. Let's bring it to the board and see if there's any other questions that might come up. And if you have any, right off the top of your head, if you have any, I can get back to him with that. But if not, I would like to go through letting them go forward with this project for the date, the 26th of September, or the rain date of October 3rd, and they will just kind of take care of every other part. So, and anybody, of course, from the town that wants to pop down and
lend a hand for a little bit of time is obviously more than welcome. So, and I don't think it's any question.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. Anytime that you can increase community involvement and you know, what we're trying to do here, either as a town, school district, community center, it's a great thing. And the hope is, if it's successful, to make this an annual event. For some board members, you probably recall that prior to opening a recreation park, there was always a community cleanup day where everybody went down and helped out getting the park ready. Kind of gotten away from that in recent years. COVID didn't help this year. But, you know, I think it's
good. Yeah, no, I think this is great. And it can, we can, if it grows, it's big, and it goes quick, because if there's a lot of hands, it'll go quick. Their thought is that next year, maybe there's other parts of the town to look at, and slowly growing it over the years. I mean, when I went to school out in Central New York, all those small towns around the Finger Lakes have these celebrate service days where, like, the colleges and the schools get together and just clean up, you know, and do all this. You know. And the town I went to was part of it, had it, right? So it can grow, but I think this is a great way to start small and see where it goes from there. You know, speaking of the boat launch, though, at the same time, we're cleaning it up from garbage, because that, unfortunately, is, the land is pretty disrespected by the people who use it. They're turning it into the beach. There's been problems with boaters. Can't get their boats out of the water, so people won't get out of the way. You know, they're bathing, they're not bathing, they're swimming, they're in their tubes, they're hanging out, they put boats in. So, if, you know, I can see the boat launch getting cleaned up, and then maybe we move a little bit further from our end on some legislative stuff to make it safer for everybody. Because we closed, didn't have the beach open this year, people started to swim down there. But we have a local contractor, developer, who loves the boat launch, but he goes, takes his jet skis and boats over to Queensbury, and he uses theirs, and he said he would donate, I believe, time and resources to build the boat launch out of the forest. So these are things we really need to look into. I ran into him again. He's been telling me this for years, and every time I see him, I say, is that boat launch for sale on the table? Yeah. My phone hasn't been ringing, you know, so he knows we're busy, but, you know, I think we can do a lot with that boat launch area, starting with a project like this.
Okay. So, what were the dates again?
Saturday, September, is it 26th? I don't have a calendar. Saturday, September 26th, I don't have times yet, but Zach will get back in touch with all of us, I'm sure, and tell us exactly what. And then we'll...
With the rain date being October
3rd. With the rain date being the following weekend, I believe it's October 3rd.
I think I had a note of the round 10 too, but he was going to put out more information.
Yeah, he left me a very long voicemail. I had to go back and listen to it again. I can forward it to everybody to see if you can send it.
Well, if you want to get the details up of that board support a little bit, we'll be on the website.
Right, and that you can't write, and I'm hoping that our other number one media outlet also runs that, because it'd be nice to get it out there and help with it. Because everybody does like that boat launch in the town. And newer families don't probably even know that we have it. So, that would be kind of nice.
Okay, good. Everybody's okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, so we can reach out?
Yes. Yep.
Item 5 is the Universal Playground. As everyone knows, when we started, guns blazing to get that completed. And unfortunately, COVID-19 hit in March, and it slowed things down to a crawl. But the board is committed to trying to get this wrapped up this year before the frost enters the ground. And in an effort to make that happen, council member Van Tassel, myself, as well as a representative from Parkitects, and our rec leader, had a meeting last Wednesday down at the site to come up with what is our strategy, what is our schedule, what is our budget that we have remaining to get this done. And I think board members had from Pete, a rec leader. And right before that meeting, actually the day before, had some unfortunate news. We had been sponsored, Town Road was sponsored for $125,000 from assembly member Warner, almost 2 years to the date for that project. Unfortunately, as is the case all across New York, the governor's director of the budget has shut down expenditure of SAND grant funding for the foreseeable future. I did reach out to the Assemblywoman's office. We've had correspondence from the State Transportation Authority, which oversees the grants, and we'll still be able to receive that funding when it becomes available, regardless whether the project is completed or not. In previous years, it used to be a caveat that if you started the project or ended it prior to being under contract, you wouldn't get the money. We don't have to worry about that here, but short term, we don't have money. So we had never, when we put the budget together, we had made arrangements so that this could be funded entirely through our capital fund, so it's not going to result in tax increase or anything like that, because it is capital reserve funds. So we've got the money to do that, to wrap it up. Architects have graciously said that they will hold the cost for the concrete work for the spray pad as well as the ramp leading up to the playground equipment. And that's something that they have penciled in for, I believe, mid-October to complete that work. However, in the meantime, we do require additional tree work down there, primarily for safety reasons, because some of the trees, very tall trees, are within falling distance of the equipment that we installed in place. So we asked the rec leader to secure pricing for necessary tree work to get those trees down to ensure safety and make sure we have appropriate buffer area around the equipment that's installed and the equipment that's about to be installed. So, first, and I'll have council member Antas will give you more detailed information if you have it regarding the timing. But in the meantime, to start the ball rolling down there, we have to engage the services of a company, a company, to cut, remove, and clean approximately 25 trees in the area behind the university playground. And we do have three quotes. We have a price of $8,500 from High Peaks Tree Removal, Incorporated in Queensbury. We have a second quote of $22,400 per state Saratoga County contract, Richard Sears Tree Experts Incorporated in Glens Falls, and the third vendor is Tree Care by Stan Hunt, whom we have a contract with for highway needs. And based on that contract, it would be $11,400. The recommendation from the rec leader is to use 5 weeks to remove necessary trees at $8,500. Current balance for the funding allocated for this project is $81,198.37. This would come from from the account HT7197.201. So, if someone would like to move that, we can have a discussion on it if you'd like.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
I'm curious just about the other two quotes on here. The Perseid Tour Company contract, does that mean they didn't come out and look? They had to go by a contract already in place? Or is it, or for highway department quote, does that again mean they didn't come out and look? They went by what's quoted?
My understanding is that they along with a few others came out and looked at it.
They did, okay.
Yeah, but they already have established pricing in place. So
okay.
Richard Sears fell back on the county contract, and Tree Care by Stan Hunt fell back on the Michigan Highway contract for the pricing.
Okay, and
I'd say IP Phosphorus was aggressive to win the business.
Right. No, I think that's great. I feel like either it was a Sears or Hunt, or Stan Hunt has always been the best for us in the past, but barely not on this one. So I'm okay with going with IP for sure. I was just curious.
And just for clarity, we did have the rep, bring back IP Fossils. They get great clarity to mark the trees themselves, get an actual count, and don't there be any confusion. You know, when you see a price that's so disparaging
right.
from the others, but
okay.
I'm quite confident there's great clarity on the
yep, great. Thank you for all the work. You went into it.
And I was informed that the highway superintendent of the town does not have a contract with Tree Care by Stan Hunt at this time. So that was an extrapolation based on the cost of work in the past, I guess.
Okay. Thanks. Yep.
Any other discussion?
No.
Good. All right. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. So that was the first item. I talked a little bit about some of the work that we have to do down there. I don't know if you have additional information you want to share.
Yeah, I don't know if I mean, you all have copies of the project plan that's been put in place. I'll just touch on it briefly. I don't know for sure, you know, how we got so far off track, but you touched on some of the stuff with COVID and just some changes, you know, what's going on in the economy. But you know, problems, things like people can be fixed, and I think that's what we did, so thank you for going down there. There's a very tight timeline that people have committed to. There's great confidence we'll get this thing done before the end of the season. You know, the site prep has to happen first, and that's scheduled and locked in for the first days of September, starting with September 7th, and then running to the end of the time period. We're going to have a safety audit early, just to make sure we haven't missed anything. So there's going to be a gentleman that comes by and does work with architects that will do a safety audit now, so that we don't find surprises at the end. The utility works, which includes water line and electrical install, the building and control shed, that stuff will all happen in parallel. Since there are other entities that are doing that, Jesse's department is working with the rec department. We did feel very strong that although we could maybe continue to find a little better price on pouring the pad if you find somebody available, the uniqueness of pouring that pad with all the plumbing and the electrical, it's just our recommendation is to stay with the people that do it every day. And so the firm that represents architects is willing to do it, and I just don't think that's an area we want to fool with. So they're going to do it. They're committed to it. They're locked in for the week of October 19th through the 31st. So they're scheduled. They were penciled in and now penned in. And we'll get the trees out of there in advance of that. And then playground resurfacing, final safety audit, work on the road and parking areas, and then site reclamation. That will be a joint effort between Highway, Rec staff, and BOCES if they come back. So a combination of a bunch of people coming together, committing to it, and thank everybody for their help.
Very good.
Thank you.
And I think BOCES is planning that. I don't know if we have to have that discussion with them. But
so I have spoken with BOCES. Actually, are we, did we have a call?
No.
Any more discussion?
On the high peaks, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, getting back to BOCES. So I have spoken with BOCES as recently as last week. Bob Patson will be starting up. The earliest that they could have students there would be early to mid-October. Obviously, we would have loved to have BOCES continue to work for us if the price was right. However, if we're going to be able to achieve the timeline we want to have, the time gets better.
Right.
So we're hopeful that maybe they can help us with some of the administrative down there. If not, we'll have to look at the town department to help us out with that.
Okay.
70% of what we budgeted for the project, so we've got another 30% to go. I think we're going to make it. It's going to be tight, especially with unforeseen issues with not being able to take advantage of OCs and some other things there. But I think we'll get there, and we'll be able to, more importantly, have a complete issue.
I mean, you saw from the paperwork that was submitted that they actually didn't have to change the scope of work a lot. There was the reduction for now of one sidewalk and a little bit of concrete area, but there's still plenty of egress and access and plenty of places for people to get in without problem.
Yeah, we may, I think it's becoming apparent that we won't get any paving done down there this year, but that's something that we'll be able to do for next year. You still do the bike and a lot of paving. Next item is item 6, Recreation Department. I do have a request from Councilmember Hogan that we have a discussion on a proposed contract with Link Soccer Academy LLC for towns, regarding the town's soccer program. The timing is kind of short, which is why it's being discussed this evening, because they would need to have an answer prior to our next board meeting.
Right.
So, do you want to talk briefly about that? Or do you want me?
I'm going to say before I get it. I just want to know, did you have an opportunity to look at it?
I did look at it, and I just had, from a legal perspective, it's fine as long as they're abiding by the COVID regulations. I don't know how they're doing spectators. None of that's in the contract. So I don't know if they provided you with their guidelines that they submit to the state or what all that is. But a lot of the places have, you know, two people per person, but none of that's in the contract. So I don't know if that's going to be put in the contract or if that's going to be presented. Like with the lacrosse contracts, I don't know where that falls into this.
I know it's not in the contract, but we sent our daughter on court, so we're aware. So it was made clear to us that it's only two spectators, and you are requested to stay in your vehicle. If you must get out, you have to make sure you are 6 feet away from anybody, and you must stay, you know, two people have to stay together, or you can by yourself, not with anybody, but everybody's got to socially distance. It's pretty much the same as every other rec program that we have down there right now.
Well, that's my question.
Where does it say?
Where is that document? The town needs to have that on file, okay, so that the town is prepared. And there's also COVID waivers that are attached. And Peter knows them. Peter and I worked on a COVID waiver earlier.
Yes.
So I presume that that's being forwarded to them as well.
I'm presuming that as well.
And you're signing up, they're having sign-ups before there's a contract?
Sign-ups open last weekend.
Okay. What is the contract?
Decide. Yeah.
So there is proposed new language in the contract, which is highlighted in yellow, over the contract that I signed last August. And some of the new verbiage is relation to that the academy shall pay to the town for the town share. And the language that is proposed is $10 for the first registered child and $5 for each additional sibling, which is fine, and I think that's important that families have more than one child derive a benefit. But nowhere in the contract does it say what the cost will be that is charged to the participants. And so the question I have is, especially with the pandemic that we're dealing with, and some folks no longer employed or not working at the same hours or on furloughs, is the price that's being charged to families the same as last year? Has it increased? Because this is certainly not the time to be increasing the cost.
No, I reached out to Baker, and I did get that. I also, on the back of last year's contract, was this one, which has that information in there about what they charge for family.
So the same as last year.
Yes.
So if we're going to have that language, and I think the language of the cost of the program should be included somewhere in there.
You normally don't have the cost of the program in the contract, so I'm surprised that you put that in here. But if you're going to have something in here saying you're going to pay the town, if you want to put in and it's going to pay, they're charging students X number of dollars, I have no problem with that.
Or maybe it should be a percentage, so they don't have to change the number.
However they want to do it.
So, no, I brought it up for discussion, so.
Yeah, I was comfortable with what was in there as far as after I learned that it was a matter of the organizer of this event, PJ Mazda. Last year I think they charged $10 per player. They charged $40. The fee was $40 per student or player, $35 if there was a second sibling. They reduced by $5 each time there was another sibling. So it went from 40 to 35 to 30 to 25. And then it goes out to more, they are 15. A large family, you know, they get a reduced rate. Within the contract was $10 for first child, $5 less for the next one. And it would remain at that $5 for the others in the group. If it was a large family, I'd be surprised if there was that many large families around anymore. But
I think the concern is that the Todd's on the contract about what they're going to pay the town, which is fine. And I think Todd's concern is, but what are they charging the families?
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, so we can take this out completely, or we can leave this in, just attach, like you have back there, just say, you know, per attached, whatever their last page got from last year.
Right. Well, so this is their advertisement, which is
this year.
For last year. Yeah, absolutely. So that was their advertisement from last year, and I'm told that it's going to be the same issue.
All right, so we'll do it for the approved 2020 handout supplier.
I haven't seen the flyer for 2020.
Oh,
how about that?
It's all online. There actually wasn't anything in paper, so I was just looking at it here. And I don't even know how up to date. I know it's for this year. But it's pretty basic and straightforward. It's just register. If I was to say click it, it just has a name. You put your name, address, and pay. You know, there's not a lot of info on the site. I know in the past they were charging late fees and everything else. And again, I don't think we ever saw any of those late fees. But that would feel like late fees should be scratched. You know, I mean, because the late fees would go to the organization. It's like $5, $10 at certain dates.
So this is billed as a Tom Monroe program. There should not be any late fees on it.
Right. And I don't know. That's not in the contract anywhere about late fees. So I have to, I'll look again for detail on the registration site, but couldn't find like the printout. I think
there's nothing on there. I have the 2019 on the website. To the 2020 at all.
Right. I think I just sent you a link to what they're. Unfortunately, they did it off of Facebook type of a deal here. So if you hit that link, let me find it and where it would go ahead and say, like the fall 2020 registration is open, and then. That's 2019, where the heck is the 2021 I just sent you? So,
I was looking it up, and the prior year's contract, we didn't have the reference to the price they were charging. It was don't know if it will reference the price of the park and the contract, you can add the attachment. I think just also keep in perspective, and certainly one person I'll share mine, you know, we're not in a position to run our own program, so we're outsourcing this. And in the past, when I recall, this got very good reviews and did a good job. We didn't have complaints of as we might have in the past. I think if he puts on a good program, I'd be comfortable. We need to get the contract done sooner than later. He's already looking for registration, but
right.
I'd be comfortable referencing a price of nature. Can we have, if we get this done, we're going to approve if we have some contingencies that he includes that?
What actually he can just print out from what he's got here for COVID. He's got COVID return plate guidelines because we've got that file.
Yeah.
So I would like that to be a part of the contract.
As an attachment?
Yes.
So if we get to a motion, we can have it, but if we have some contingency to fully include it.
As long as the town is comfortable.
Yeah, it's everything that we've probably attached to every other contract so far, and we can attach it. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, and there was another question that Councilman Hogan brought up earlier. I'll ask it since we're just moving along here. But, you know, it looks like the insurance was on our contract went up from $1 million to $3 million. Was that a change that we wanted?
I didn't put that in, but I noticed that as well. It bumped quite a bit. I don't know if that's why that.
Any incentive going that line? Is there anything?
I don't know if that's what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Is that what we did in the last contract?
No, we were $1 million.
No, we were $1 million.
Last year's contract was $1 million, but I was told we were going to $3 million, but this came from our rec leader because he was advised of that, but I don't know why.
Maybe by
the insurance company. I'm perfectly fine with it if the vendor in this case is fine with it. I mean, that's up to him. I assume he's read it. He knows what's being presented to the board tonight. I nor Councilman Hogan are aware of him having a problem with that.
More insurance, better.
I just wasn't sure if there was a reason.
Okay, so I just got a text from Peter. He was told by the confidential secretary that the rate needed to go to the same way. I'm assuming that was directed through NYMRA, but I had to check with her.
The rate needed to go over
there? Yeah.
Or the rate of what?
Insurance coverage.
Oh,
they provide insurance coverage in all arms of now.
That's what she said. I'm sure she spoke with our insurance carrier.
I'm not assuming.
All right, so
I'm good. In control.
Yes, I'm good with that.
And for, I think again, it's one of those situations where we don't want to hold this up, so we can pull the kids back and get out there and do what they got to do. I guess it was just. Brought to my attention that someone's watching from home here, that $40 that we paid every year, we get a shirt out of it for the kids. Because of time constraints, there's no shirts this year. So, in terms of the cost, we can't do it this late. I wish I knew that ahead of time to be able to say, hey, listen, I know you're usually charged. You pay for the shirts. You still pay the town $10 per kid. Should pay the town $10 per kid plus the cost of the shirt, but so I don't think we can really do that with our time constraint because kids aren't getting shirts as
well. Well, the amount that they're charging is separate apart from the amount they're paying the town. They're going to pay the town $10.05 no matter what.
Right.
So that's something that.
Well, at this point.
I guess should speak to PJ.
Because we're going to hear, like, hey, I paid $40. This year, like last year, I got a shirt last year. How come I didn't get a shirt this year? I still paid $40. I mean, that's going to come our way. So we, you know.
And the reason we weren't doing shirts was
time constraint. Because we approved it last meeting, and we're now approving the contract tonight. And I guess we never did the shirts.
Yeah, it's all on the PJ's.
In my mind, I feel like lower the shirts up and give it to him in the third week. If it's the same cost that everyone's paying, I think we should ask him to order those shirts.
I think part of the agreement, I'm sure we want the contract, we want
resolution that that they shall receive the same benefits that their participation fee got them last year. If that's assured after the fact, that's okay. But absent a willingness to change the cost of the program, they should be scheduled. I'm with you on that.
I mean, for some kids, it's the biggest thing all year. They love Monroe Red soccer. They love that shirt. They wear that shirt around like they're Aaron Judge for the New York Yankees. It's just important, you know. So I think if we can figure out a way to tell PJ again, even if he comes in the third week, I think it's important.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I'm
going to
do that as a resolution. That's our contract.
You got it. So, where are we? So, verbiage-wise, we're going to take out reference to the town share and...
No, I'm thinking about that. I think the verbiage is going to require to have the pricing schedule attached as well as the COVID plan and COVID waivers.
As long as it's the same last year.
And the third, the fourth will be, whatever people get for their program would be the same as last year. The benefits.
Okay. Both for the town and for the schools.
Well, it's not the same for the town, you can see, because last year we had 10 per kid, this year it's 10, and it drops to 5. So.
So why? Well, because the cost is being increased for the participants?
No. You mean multiple families that drops it?
The payment to the town, which is the way that we're helping cover our costs in the park. So PJ's company runs the program on behalf of the town. In the past, he paid us $10 per child. At least that's what the 2019 contract says. The 2020 contract says that it's $10 for the first child and five for every additional child. So I believe we're being paid less.
But I thought he's collecting less because he reduced his fee to multiple families and multiple children.
That was in the
2019. Is he now reducing his fee to?
The same thing as last year. When she does a reduction, he was like
40, 35.
I didn't talk to him directly. I'm assuming that he's.
See, this is what happens when this stuff comes last minute and does not make me happy. It's a waste of time, And these answers have to be provided to the board before they can make good policy. And we don't have them, so we're going to have to.
So let's do this. Why don't we table it and Mr. Hogan, Councilman Hogan and I will get all the parties, sort it out, and then we do this through.
Well, you have to give him authority to sign it.
Well, how about authority to sign it after final legal review?
That's fine. That's usually how you do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, you're not changing, but legal review is different than changing the
term. I don't want to be sitting here tonight having these discussions without the answers, and I thought it was worked out, but it's clearly not. I think that there's probably some validity to the fact that it's going to be a little bit more expensive for him to run the program, because he has to do a lot of extra work to deal with the COVID stuff, too. So let us, if you're okay with that,
I'm going to see what's going to happen today. But I'm going to, going back, we just gave approval at our last board meeting for them to actually hold this program. It wasn't part of the enabling plan for this throughout the summer because of the COVID restrictions. They just got the board to go ahead.
Right.
And this is part of the last minute type thing.
No, I'm not faulting the organization. I'm just faulting those that bring this information to us who should have all those answers.
So I guess some of that's my fault. I got that by the afternoon, and I was,
We have full-time staff. We have full-time staff.
Oh, I understand that. I do understand that.
All right. So I present a motion authorizing the supervisor to sign the agreement with Link's Soccer Academy, Adirondack Soccer Academy for the 2020 soccer season. With some contingencies. Contingent that this agreement will include a copy of this COVID plan, the requirements of COVID waivers included, attached. his fee schedule, and we will get additional answers to a couple open questions. If you've been comfortable, we can go on the site. So those questions are going to be if there's a reduction in the costs, and if he's willing to include t-shirts as he did last year.
Removal of late fees. There's a $10 late fee charge on here as well.
Yeah.
I
don't
support
it. In a 2020?
Yeah, and actually the registration info is pretty, I think it's a typo, August 29th.
What are you looking at, Kyle?
So if you go to his website.
Yeah, so you're not, okay, we need to break up. The contract with the town.
Yeah.
Says the town is going to get $10 and $5 for each individual student and multiple families.
Okay.
Doesn't say anything about what he's charging anybody else or late fees or any of that stuff. That's his agreement with you folks. Sounds like you guys have a separate agreement.
Yeah, so when can I talk about the fact that I have a late fee removed?
You
talk
about now. Like, okay. I mean, that's fine. I can put that in the contract. But maybe we need to have that contract that the participant signs as an attachment to this contract.
Okay. Okay. So we would like, we want that information. But actually, it's incorrect anyway, because I'm looking at the dates that are on here. So I'm trying to not bring this into the conversation, but however we can get that's what we need to do. None of it's in print like this. It's all just web based stuff.
When is the first meeting?
So they had this scheduled to start on September 19th, which is in 11 days. I mean, I also think CJ is probably willing to work with us on all of this. He probably didn't think we would have this much discussion on it, but I'm glad we are, and I'm sure he's willing to work with us. So whatever that is, these contingencies that we need to get cleared up so we can start on time and all be on this agreement. Do we have enough time to do that?
Talk to him tomorrow. So the last two contingencies then would be that the participants would receive the same benefits as they did in the prior year, and we would have the removal of late fees.
Right. And I think that's important. I mean, we're trying to get the kids out there, and I think that's the most important part, but we can't be given leaving holes in some of these contracts that we're just not aware of. We weren't maybe aware of originally, so.
As okay as it can be.
I've got a question. Now, the document we have before us tonight, the contract with us with this vendor, as to what he's going to pay us, what the terms of that contract are. Now, I'm just sitting here thinking about whatever he does with his players, families, and buying t-shirts and everything else seems to me like it's a separate entity. It's a separate thing altogether. Why are we getting involved in what he charges these people? Our concern should be what we're going to get to cover our costs for the use of fields for whatever cost the town that the town has. We want to make sure they're insured, things like that to cover us. I don't know why we're talking to any discussions about whether the kid's going to get a t-shirt from the vendor, or whether the vendor's going to charge a late fee, or the vendor's going to, what the vendor's going to charge. That's, I think, would be the vendor's responsibility, not ours. That's just.
So the issue here, this is billed as a town and local program.
That changes the.
Yeah, we're responsible. It's not somebody else's program. It's a town road program. It's
being run by the
Exactly.
Because we always have rolling issues, I feel like, for our programs.
Okay, alright.
We have a motion. The council is okay.
It's okay if you can. I second it.
Don't ask me to read this back. It's going to look really bad. I can.
Right.
I follow the line.
Can I is the motion to authorize the supervisor to sign an agreement with Adirondack Links Soccer Academy LLC for Soccer Academy to run the town's rec soccer program for the fall with the following contingencies and or additions to the contract. That the vendor signs the COVID waiver that the town presents, that the vendor attaches his contract to the town's contract. And in his contract, late fees are removed, all dates are verified and up to date for this season, and that the individual participants receive the same benefits and the town receives the same benefits from the program last year as they are getting from the program this year.
Just up on that last one, sorry. The participants get the same benefits, but then you said the town gets the same benefits?
Someone said that at one point.
And I'm just saying that the agreement this year doesn't have that one. We can modify that if that's a request. I just want to make sure I'm through.
You're talking about, someone said today the town benefits, so I don't know what that means.
Well, to me, that means the monetary value of these are the things.
And then it's different than this contract.
Yes.
So let's just say that the participants receive the same benefits.
That would be nice.
Is everybody good on that?
Yes.
Is that better with you?
Yep.
And I would say for next fall, either we, if we're still not in the business of running soccer programs, PJ still runs it, but we have more time with this contract ahead of time because we've got to hear all these teams. And usually it's about July. This is something we usually do in July because I've registered my daughter for this since she's 5 or 4. She's now 8. This is the 5th year of doing it or so, and it's July when we normally hit the registration. So.
Yeah, I signed the contract August 1st last year.
Correct.
Well, obviously, that was the problem this year because the governor didn't say they could do it.
Right. No, I know that. And I'm just, even if we had one.
No, it's complicated.
Had one pipeline going forward. This is differently, I think.
All right. So we've got a motion. We've got a second. Are we in other discussion?
No.
If not, all in favor?
Yes.
All right.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimous. Thank you.
I will be on.
Okay. Perfect. Good. I don't want to call on the PJ without us. Let's take the board members on the same call so they only have one.
Well, you know, sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll check the piece of it. I'll check the piece.
Please listen.
All right. Item 7 I have on the agenda, I talked about it a little bit already, is the solar update. And we discussed at the last board meeting, I asked board members to provide comments to the current draft language. Everyone did, so thank you for that. I do know that some board members have additional comments, and obviously there will be ample opportunity for that to be provided for discussion. And earlier in the meeting, we set a workshop for the town board so that hopefully we can get this to the stage where we're going to present the public for comment. And that'll get us pretty close to that point. Does the council want to update us any further at this time?
No, I just want to thank the board. You have been very good with giving me back all your responses. I sent an email about 5:30 today, having compiled the latest round that I finally got today. And there are still, as we talked about last time, there are still some issues where I can't put the change in because they're diametrically opposed. So I want a chart for you in the next few days saying this is what the differences are. For the workshop, are we, for the public, will they have a copy of this?
So under county client
privilege. Right now, it's Texas.
No, because this will be the point where the board hopefully coalesces with a majority position on what we want to do with solar, and then we will invite the public to weigh in on.
Okay. I am good to go with all my information. I'll get everything to you folks as soon as I can. And everybody needs to get a laptop.
That would be me. Comment about it?
We can make that work. Anything else on their solar? So, moving along, I have them rate listed as appointments. Actually, it should be an appointment, not appointments. Of course, I wasn't sure if there had to be more. And I had the good fortune to finally have an opportunity to interview an individual who has expressed interest in serving as an alternate on our planning board. Interviewed last week. It's Adam Siebel from Hudson Drive in South Bend Falls. I believe I provided board members with a copy of his letter of interest, as well as his curricula vitae. He currently works with Stewart Shops as director of marketing, has a master's in accounting from the University of Albany, bachelor's in business administration from Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts, and an associate's of science degree from SUNY Adirondack. He has certification in leadership fundamentals from Lee, New York, which is an excellent program. He has a certificate in food milk processing for quality and safety from Cornell Dairy Food Certificate Program. He's a certified management accountant from the Institute of Management Accountants. He also was a volunteer in our community, volunteering with South Bend Falls Youth Baseball. He's currently the secretary, been involved there since 2015 to the present. He's also previously volunteered with the South Bend Falls Pop Warner Board of Directors, as well as serving as a treasurer for the Conklin Center in Bend Falls, New York. And lastly but not least, he served as vice president for the Stewart's Federal Credit Union. Spoke with him at length probably for about a half an hour. Very much wants to be involved with the decisions in relation to planning here in the town of the row. And obviously we don't have any vacancies for a term, a full term, for voting member of the planning board. So I thought that I would bring this to the board for consideration for possibly an appointment as an alternate planning board member, since we do not have any alternates at this time. And as I've indicated in the past, things are probably going to start ramping up here within the next year. And if we have somebody ready to step in from the alternate position, I think it benefits the town. So I don't know if the board wants to interview them individually and individually or move forward with the appointment. I think it's a great addition. We've had advertisements on our website for a very long time, and people aren't knocking down their doors to serve. So now we have somebody new that's willing to assist the town. So I don't know what the board's pleasure is on it. Any thoughts?
Were you going to speak?
No, go ahead.
I haven't spoken with Mr. Siebel yet. I'd be willing to, but at the same time, I read the text that came our way with his background, and I think that perfectly nice, diverse background, strong education, numbers based here, that being an accountant, these are all important parts of what I think makes rounds out a good, strong zoning or planning board in this case. I would support making an appointment this evening. If that's where you want to go with it.
I'd like
to
Councilman Nunez's resume. I've not interviewed him, but the diverse background of education and his experience seems like it fit quite well.
Yeah, and I just want to share, I should have done this up front, his letter of interest for the record. It says, Dear Mr. Kuzniers, I'm writing to express my interest in the position of alternate member of the planning board. I'm a recent graduate of Lead New York. Lead New York is a leadership development program for adult professionals in the food, agriculture, and natural resource industries of the Northeast. A main goal for the Lead New York program is to develop participants to make a positive difference in meeting public needs in the community. I have extensive experience in leadership at Stewart's in a variety of roles, from accounting to manufacturing operation. I'm involved in the community, volunteering for local youth sports leagues, and previously for the Counseling Center, with a mission for creating opportunities for older adults. I'm a lifelong resident of the town of Rowan, and I'm currently raising my own family here with two young children. I seek to become involved in the shaping of our community's future. I believe my experience and willingness to learn would make me a good fit for this position. Sincerely, Adam H. Siebel. So,
I think it's a great letter. Just when he had said, you know, lifelong resident, and he's chosen to stay here and raise his family, I think that's huge. Similar, you know, to the way I felt about being involved in local government, move back here to be part of the change, you know, make positive change. So I would absolutely support this appointment this evening. I'm good.
I'm not familiar with him. I think I know his father. If the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and things like that, he'd be a good fit. We go before.
So the only question for discussion before a resolution is offered is we can set the term. We haven't done it in the past, but
I checked, and the town code does say that the term for an alternate is set by resolution of the board.
Right.
So I don't know if the board has ever set such a resolution.
Well, I think it's important that we do. What is it for regular planning board members?
7 years.
7 years.
7 years?
Yes.
1 to 4 years.
I mean, I don't. We can do a shorter.
Or shorter.
Well, if he's interested in staying on, we can just reappoint. You know, or if the seat hasn't opened up at that point, then I want to stay. But I'm.
You have to do a term.
You don't have to do a term. The law doesn't require you to do a term. Mm-hmm. You might want to, you know, appoint him now, and then at the organizational meeting have a resolution setting terms for all alternates.
So
okay. I think that's a better idea.
Okay, that's fine. So would someone like would someone like to offer the appointment of Adam Siebel to the position of alternate planning board member?
I'd like to make a motion to appoint Adam Siebel as an alternate planning board member.
Second. Any discussion? Further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now somebody can miss a meeting and get somebody to come in behind. Or, all right. Supervisor items, just have a few. I want to provide a brief update on COVID. Today, the governor announced that has added four new states that fall under the metrics for the COVID-19 travel advisory. They include states of Delaware, Maryland, Ohio, and West Virginia. The metrics that he's using for that is for any person who's arriving to New York with a positive an area with a positive test rate higher than 10 per 100,000 residents over a 7-day rolling average, or an area with a 10% or higher positivity rate over a 7-day rolling average. So while doing that, they also announced that two territories, Puerto Rico and the West Virgin Islands, were removed. So the list for states that you have to quarantine to come from is currently 35. He also announced this afternoon at the press conference that he will be establishing a COVID report card database that will be published detailing test results for each public school in the state of New York for students and staff members. And the database can be found at https://schoolcovidreportcard.health.newyork.gov. And then here in Sarasota County, 15. The desk remains steady at 17. Number of recovered cases is 859. Currently, the number of active cases is 54, and of those, there are three hospitalized, and the total number of individuals tested today is 77,312. Also, I have communication from the Department of State, dated September 1, 2020, in relation to the town of Monroe Local Law 3, which was a change to our zoning code for multifamily zoning, and they report that it was filed on August 28, 2020, so that means the effective date is in fact August 28, 2020. And then the last item I have for supervisor items is, I think I shared this with board members, if not, I have a copy. If you recall, we had requested a reduction in the speed limit on Old Saratoga Road in the area in proximity to Monroe State Park. And at the time of that conversation, General Park Manager in my conversations with him had expressed a willingness to write a letter of support. I do have that letter of support in hand, and it has been provided to DOT is with our supporting request for a speed limit reduction. It says, dear Mr. Kuzner, as Saratoga Capital Region General Park Manager, I have been responsible for Monroe Lake State Park and Park Manager's absence since mid-July of this year. On multiple occasions during this time period and others, I've observed vehicles driving at high rates of speed along Old Saratoga Road in the vicinity of the Monroe Lake State Park entrance. Speed of traffic along the stretch of Old Saratoga Road is of serious concern due to the road topography and the slow nature of towed vehicles exiting the park onto the town road. Current speed limit along Old Saratoga Road, approximately Monroe Lake State Park, is 45 miles per hour, reducing to 30 miles per hour along the bend near the intersection with Mountain Road. The park's entrance to the road is situated in a significant dip, creating an obstructed sightline approaching the park's entrance from both the east and west approaches. Daily during the camping season, with both trucks towing camper trailers and recreation vehicles, exit the park onto the Old Saratoga Road in slow fashion. Potential exists for serious injury and damage to personal property based on the limited sight lines and the slow nature of campers and RVs turning onto Old Saratoga Road. To assist with awareness, the park had installed signage indicating slow, congested area. Be prepared to stop. However, this has done little to remedy the issue. Park is in support of any effort to reduce the current 45 miles per hour speed limit to 30 miles per hour along the stretch of road. I believe this modification will serve to save lives and promote safety of both users of the town's roadway as well as patrons of State Park. Sincerely, Brian Stresovich, General Park Manager with Parks, Recreation, Historic Preservation. So just want to thank him for doing that. He didn't have to do it. Hopefully it helps us in our success for getting the speed limit reduced in that area. Just an update, we continue to secure easements for the sewer project. The numbers continue to grow, and so we're hopeful that we're on track to get these easements in hand in a timely fashion so that we can move on to the next stage in that project. I want to thank, I can't remember if I thanked the sheriff or mentioned it at the last board meeting for providing the town with a radar speed limit sign, which we installed for at least a week on Reservoir Road. I called down to him and he had it there. We would have had it there the next day, so the battery was dead, so we had to charge it. But he did have it there 2 days later, so I want to thank him for helping us with that. As I mentioned in the past, I'm a member of the Saratoga County Water Authority Board, and while there was a recommendation for an increase in rates for next year of 0.5%, ultimately, the board voted unanimously to keep rates flat, which is good news for the town of Monroe with 55
from the sheriff's department. Is that something we could get, you know, I'm not going to say regular basis, from time to time to put on the problem roads just to remind people? Because I know I've got some complaints about Peter Dam Road, Bluebird Road, Reservoir Road. Always get complaints on those three roads. And I'm just saying, if that's something we could get the sheriff's department to bring up from time to time and throw it out there and keep constantly reminding these people, because people go fly to those neighborhoods and it's just dangerous. I don't know if that's something we could set up.
Yeah, so, when people, it's funny who, people say when they're out, suddenly want it in their neighborhoods. I did receive calls from my residents along the Peter Dam area as well as Hangwood. Yes, I mean, we can get it, but it's subject to first come, first serve. And there's 23 supervisors in the county, and it's pretty large. So it might be a while before I get it back, but I can make that.
Look into it every now and then, you know, just to try to slow these people down. But the other thing I had is the Falls Transportation Council, they did a great job on that. That traffic study they did down in Old Westville. Matter of fact, it's about 20 pages long. And I printed out a copy before last meeting. And I went over pretty well, like I said, it's pretty detailed. I was going to say we put it on tonight's agenda, but I wasn't sure if everybody had a chance to, like, I know Pat emailed it to all of us, had a chance to really look at it. And I was surprised at some of the numbers, especially the numbers of heavy trucks go down the road per day through that residential neighborhood, it's the agricultural neighborhood. There's concerns down there with the people living in that area that the traffic keeps getting heavier, the vehicles keep getting heavier. So I don't know if we might want to do something to try to alleviate some of that down there, but what I'd like to suggest tonight is that maybe put it on the agenda for the next meeting. We'll give everybody, all of us, a chance to go over and look at the data and maybe discuss the next meeting as to what direction you might go. All I got.
Yeah, sure. I'll take feedback from board members as I think I gave a thumbnail sketch so that at the last meeting the numbers were within the range of what they see for towns. Roads of similar use. And the accident, I think I highlighted the accidents that did take place, particularly on the airplane turn, majority of the result of the DWI.
Right. Well, the thing is, too, and I did read that, I read the part about the accident reports and that they were all documented and stuff, and we read that the DWI's involved there. But the safety issue wasn't as much a concern to the people there, and myself included, is that. As it is a quality of life issue. I don't think any of us sitting here tonight would like, you know, 74 garbage trucks coming past your house every day. It's a residential issue. So I think that's the quality of life issue, I think, is more than people concerned about than the trash flying out of the lawns. There's all kinds of, like I said, quality of life issues that I think we might be able to address.
So what I would like to do is suggest that board members take a look at the report. If you believe the town needs to take additional action, we can discuss it.
Sure. I have a question. Is there where can I go to find data that would suggest, like, how much traffic? I mean, I know there are a report. So, the determination was that it fell within the limits of, I guess, normal. But so there's a trash, it's a lot of traffic, right? Where do we, how would we base, what's a normal amount of traffic? Trash? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
and it may seem like a lot, but it's like, what is really considered a lot? Where do you get this data?
So if you look at the report, everything is
right.
Reference, because they're not pulling these numbers out of thin air.
No, right.
It's based on averages, probably statewide, maybe even greater outside of the state. I don't know, without looking at the report. I mean, the report was...
Yeah, no, I had it. I started reading through, and I started trying to put together some of the codes to figure out what the heck
know, each thing was. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's attachment here, which is included in the report.
Yes.
When you read it, and the classifications of the trucks, they can, with the equipment they have, classify the size of the truck, the weight of the truck, they're rolling up and down the truck. And if you look at some of these things, and the heavy trucks are like buses, trailers, you know, 8-axle vehicles, these are going down the road. It's all explained. It's all in the.
And I will get more time before the next meeting to be part of this conversation, for sure.
Okay. How about that? Good.
Any other committees?
Yeah.
Yes,
transfer station.
Are we talking about?
No.
Dump trailers?
No, I'm talking about cameras. But I just want to bring it up and to talk to Alan about what would my name. There goes along and why I got that. Once we get that figured out, then maybe we can move forward on
it. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, okay. Rec. Basketball nets. Can we get them up? Can we get the basketball nets back up?
I don't know where we are with that.
I don't know if basketball's allowed yet.
Basketball formally is not allowed.
Right.
As far as like league play and things
right.
Like that. But for like somebody to go down there and throw a basket. I thought it was based upon the numbers.
I can check. I haven't actually looked at the basketball.
Yeah.
Park.
Okay.
So.
Where's the playground open? I saw them playing
basketball.
Yeah, the park is open.
Well, a lot of places never took them down. I mean, they're also not enforcing.
Well, we
people playing the most time.
We turned them down because people were violating the restrictions at the time. We were getting work done at the rec because they're with policing groups of people using them. So that's why they got turned down. I mean, if we're within the COVID guidelines to put them back up, I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but as long as it's not going to cause additional damage.
Understood.
So, yeah, can have a rec staff opinion which we're ready for.
Very good. Thanks.
Any?
Couple of things real quick. So on personnel committee, the councilwoman and I will all get together and we'll spend some time. You asked us last meeting to follow up on the applicants that came in for the clerk's position. So I reviewed the ones I saw. The clerk is gonna clerk's office is gonna be the rest of them not available to the councilwoman.
So along you're talking about clerk position?
Yeah.
So that's a civil service position which requires us to have in hand an active current list, which we do. My office has sent out an invitation of letters to seek their interest, whether they want to interview us with us, which we're required to do. I think the return date is somewhere around September 22nd. And so obviously we're required to interview from that list if we have interest. However, if we don't have any interest, we can interview without
problems.
If we do have interest, obviously you have to interview those individuals. So I can keep you posted on that, but thanks for that.
You asked for an update on the technical, from the technical committee, so I can give you a quick update. There's a couple of things that are happening. The Jeffrey and the IT company had a meeting with on the topic of reviewing all of the telecom spend, which would be inclusive of ISP or internet service spends from all of the different vendors. So, you know, Talon has bills that come from Spectrum, Verizon, and Magnify. So there's an opportunity, there appears to be an opportunity, Spectrum's working on this, to give us some final pricing for some consolidation to one carrier and have reduced costs. But at the same time, upgrade the circuits without additional cost with better pricing available. So there might be an opportunity to have increased internet speeds for the same or less money. And additionally, they're determining whether or not they can service water with water currently sits over at Nolan. That said, I'd like to have a conversation with the water supervisor to get a better understanding of why they're over in Nolan. Because there is an opportunity for the town if we were to get more people back over to the highway complex. So one internet connection, good internet connection at Highway, we can shoot a radio, a wireless shot down to the transfer and give the transfer station the internet, as well as an easy shot over to the other Highway garage building where water sometimes seems to be. So we can get internet for all departments, possibly without a lot of expense, and then we can roll right into exploring time clocks, cameras, as well as we can make some marked improvements with the phone system. Today, the phone system, if you call here, you want Highway, you have to hang up and call another number. If you want water, you have to hang up and call a different number. The phone system is capable, if you have the right kind of lines, without additional cost, to make them all part of the phone system. So that's where we're at, and we're moving through it. So Jeffrey's working with the IT company.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Any other questions? So, committee reports. I don't have a need for executive session. Anybody have anything else for this evening?
If motion to adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thanks, everyone.